This week on Countdown to Eternity, Pastors James Cadiz and Tom Hughes sit down to discuss Babylon the Great, as noted in Revelation chapter 13. What does it all mean? How will the whore intoxicate the world? What system do we see in the current day that is leading us to that coming period? We'll discuss that and much more in this continuation of our discussion of the coming world system.
Well, hello, my dear brothers and sisters. I want to welcome you to another episode of Countdown to Eternity. I am with one of the great ones, Pastor Tom Hughes. And today we are going to read about the whore in Revelation chapter 17. look at he. Is that a hard way to start this show, bro?
That is straight. Well, that is just, this is where we're going.
And oh, yeah.
You better get ready, baby, because it's coming.
Do me a favor, bro. Let's not talk about the whore that rides the beast and a baby at the same time, okay? Okay. All right, let's get into this. I'm going to read this, right. Revelation chapter 17, and we are continuing from the last episode that we did. This is a very important subject. Revelation chapter 17, and I'll actually start in verse 1. It says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw the woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." By the way, I want to just say this, and I'll let you start commenting on this, or I'm going to ask you to start commenting on this. Mystery Babylon. It's interesting. A lot of people look at this and they say, let's talk about Mystery Babylon. And actually, what it says here, when you look at it, especially in the original language, it says mystery, period, right? Babylon the Great. So this is very interesting because we're talking about a whole religious system. I believe that Babylon is Babylon, right? A lot of people think Babylon's the United States of America and all this. You know, Babylon is Babylon, but we are talking about just an insane paganistic system, right? That we are seeing evidence of all throughout human history. We continue to see it begin to emerge and become more complicated. Bro, we are watching this whore begin to emerge. We're watching this whore begin to show her ugly face. And this is not a pretty picture.
Oh, it's bad. So when you look at it from that understanding, this, and that same thing I believe, James, it's a spiritual dynamic that I think people miss. And you can go all the way back to the Tower of Babel. You can trace this right on through the time of Babylon, right on to where we are today. And the interesting dynamic is, I mean, there's so many interesting things, I think, especially in our day. It says here that the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with her fornication, with the fornication with this system. If you look at where we are today, you take other religions and put them all together, but you look at where we are today, what's happening is, I believe, wokeness is a religion, whether or not people it is, because somebody identifies something as, doesn't identify as a religion, doesn't mean it's not. You look at climate, what are we doing? Men are told to worship the earth. That's Romans chapter 1. Wokeism, it involves earth worship. It involves all this nonsense of what's going on with men are women and women are men. You start going right on down the list, and what do you realize? Social justice warriors. The world is becoming drunk with this unbelievable stuff that's going on. And I promise you, James, and you know this, the people are at the very top of this food chain, the elite, not the ones who graduated from Harvard and on up the chain from there. They don't believe these things.
No.
They know men are men and women are women, but they've been able to sell their lies. They know what they're doing. They're selling fear. They're selling lies. In fact, those are the two things that they're really marketing. But they're lifting up everything as a something to worship.
That's right.
And the world is becoming drunk. So I believe what we are watching right now has been shifted into high gear regarding the spiritual dynamic. And I really believe that's what Revelation chapter 17 is speaking of. It's coming to its head. And ultimately, it's going to come to its head during the tribulation period, because a few verses later, John and the vision works out even a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. And look, I think that it's interesting that you brought up one specific phrase, and it's the idea of drunkenness as a result of her fornication. And this is sort of an interesting picture that gets drawn. Anybody that knows me, you know this about me. I hate alcohol, and I hate alcohol for a lot of reasons. First of all, it tastes terrible. But the other thing is I think that the abuse of it has destroyed a lot of people's lives, right? It has just damaged things in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. But the funny thing is, when you talk about people maintaining sobriety, sobriety really has little to do with alcohol in and of itself, and it has everything to do with sin. I mean, if you think about it, the greatest effect to a person's sobriety is the sin that they commit. And when you choose to allow yourself to be given to sinful behavior, you lose your sobriety instantly. If someone wants to have a beer with a taco, go ahead. I don't care. I'm not one to say anything about that. You can be a Christian. No big deal. As a pastor, I won't touch it. But the funny thing about all of this is, and I stop for a second to just think about this for a minute, that doesn't touch your sobriety like sin will. I mean, you could literally, and Jesus said it. He said it's not what goes into the man, right? But it, in essence, is what comes out of his heart. What comes out of his mouth. And the funny thing about this is, when we choose to allow ourselves to be given to sinful activity, that sin ruins our mind. It damages us. So the picture of this fornication creating a context of drunkenness really deals with the idea of a system that's being created in the world that takes advantage of the sinful tendencies of man to make conditions worse for mankind. And it brings into fruition the kind of judgment that we know God is going to bring to this earth. And I think it's really important to focus on this, because when we talk about, you know, this mystery, we talk about Babylon, the center of Babylon, the context of Babylon really, really comes back to the idea of drunkenness as a result of loss of sobriety from sin. I think one of the great pictures of this that you can draw is going back to original Babylon. If you go back to some of the stories that we read about, right, especially during the days of Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar went nuts for years because he was so drunken off of the environment that he was in, where he was cocky, he got arrogant, he thought he was the man that, you know, look at me, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, right? Or you remember the days of Mini Tachal Yufarsin, right on the wall. They saw the writing on the wall and in their drunken stupor, and their drunken stupor really didn't have much to do with the loss of sobriety from alcohol. It had everything to do with the loss of sobriety from their arrogance, right? And the reality of it is, they destroyed their lives because they chose to enter into a place of fornication. And the fornication that we're talking about here is a desire to engage in a relationship with somebody other than the true and living God. And in that engagement, a level of drunkenness has been bestowed upon you that causes you to not see what is real and what's really going on. And then you're easily swept away. And this is where we get the idea that a boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy. This is where we start getting into all of this nonsense that people are believing, the lies that they're believing, because of the drunken stupor that they're in as a result of their insatiable desire for sin. And that's why America's being judged. It's why the world is going in the direction that it's going in. And here's the funny thing that people don't ever want to reflect upon. The ruling class lives on the element of sin. They use sin to manipulate. They use sin to control. They use sin to bring people in. They use sin to corrupt. They use sin to bring into effect the things that they want. And this is exactly what we're seeing. We're watching this picture happening right in front of us. And there's a lot to say about this. There's a lot that we're seeing, and even a lot that we discussed even last week leading into this world.
So you've opened up the door for me to say so many different things. So speaking of the ruling class being able to manipulate the people with sins, I'll just take one real simple example that's in the news every day. Hunter Biden and the Chinese.
Oh, my goodness.
What they do? They used his own sins to be able to manipulate the entire United States of America. That's just one thing. Now, another thing, this goes back to what we were talking about last week. So the CIA. I really want to get into this because we look at the manipulation of the masses of people, and it's a mind game that they play. So the CIA at the time of Charles Manson, they, you know, Charles Manson, he's a delinquent. He was in a lot of trouble when he was a kid, really bad family life, absolutely horrific. He was in and out of jail. So the CIA drugged him up with LSD when he was in jail.
Yep.
And they drugged him up with this thought of an experiment. Let's see what happens to this guy on acid. So they drug him up. Then he's out of jail. And I don't know where he continued to get all the LSD from for all of the girls that he brought over to the parties. Has his, was it Spawn Ranch out there in the LA area? I think was the name of it. They're all living out there. This is in the 1960s. He's got his commune going. They've all got acid. I mean, there's so many different factors of it, but the CIA's hand was all over this. So what was Charles Manson was an experiment of the CIA. So much so that even after his group committed the murders, which were really, I mean, the reason for the murders is still questionable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they committed the murders. So the LA County Sheriff's Office knew that the Manson family did it. They were ready to go with the equivalent of a SWAT team back in the 1960s and everything else. And you probably know this, James. You're in LA, so you follow this stuff. You probably read the police reports. So the LA County Sheriff's Department was told by the CIA to stand down.
Yep.
Because they were still waiting to see what else Manson was going to do.
That's right.
He was an experiment. So the whole thing was manipulation. So with the things we were talking about last week, look, they don't care how many people are killed. They don't care how many people are slaughtered. They're manipulating the masses in so many different ways, whether it be the fentanyl that comes across from the southern border or whatever it is. The masses are being manipulated. People get drunk with the fornication from the money, so to speak, the spiritual dynamic that takes place when you get too rich. I mean, look at the people who have been really poor. All of a sudden, they're 22 years old. They're worth $50 million. They're playing professional sports. Look what happens to their life.
Oh, yeah.
So that alone is intoxicating.
Oh, yeah.
And what these people at the top, they know all this stuff. And when you read Revelation chapter 17, you realize, well, wait a minute. This is a dynamic that is playing out right now. And they're manipulating kids in schools. Schools are indoctrination. That's what they are.
They are. They're indoctrination.
They're government schools. That's what they are. Government schools.
Yep. And look, this is a pattern that we can see Satan using throughout the tenure of human history. Okay. I mean, even if you want to go to the type of history that most people are familiar with, or a lot of people are familiar with, just stop and look at what happened in early Rome, right? And you begin to see what took place when Rome got to the height of its power. One of the things that they promised each of their citizens was they promised them entertainment, they promised them food, right? And then they promised them the ability to have a somewhat of a safe environment. It was sort of a closed loop. And so what they created within themselves was they created an internal power structure that kept a dynamic where the Caesars of the Roman Empire were not really challenged. The reason why they were not challenged was because there were people that were given to the thoughtless life created by the drunkenness of the aptitude for sin because of what was going on. And this is particularly the reason why the Romans hated Christians so much. They could not stand the Christians because the Christians were breaking that cycle, right, of that level of fornication. It's the same type of fornication that we see with this whore. Christians were coming in and they were breaking that way of thinking, and people were no longer being given to the level of unrighteousness that the Romans were using in order to control the minds and the hearts of the people. And you talk about this, like me and you, how many times have me and you sat down and talked to a person that's cheated on his wife? And you sit down and you realize this guy had a gorgeous wife. He had a beautiful wife. He had beautiful children. He had a wonderful thing going on, but the desire to want to please his flesh caused him to stop thinking straight. He was given to what he was doing, and in essence, he destroyed his life because he could only think with the desire to fulfill the lust of his flesh. Look, you talked about China earlier. Isn't that what's going on right now with the United States government? They just had a big old story on this, right? Where the Chinese Communist Party were bringing in this brothel of what they considered to be some of the most beautiful Chinese women in the world that were absolutely trained and in essence sort of created to manipulate the minds and the hearts of all of these political leaders. And it's some ridiculous number, like something like 40% or something like that of the people that are all in political power in Washington were going to what they call this honeypot. That's what it was. They're going and they're having sex with these Chinese prostitutes. Their whole training was centered around pleasing men sexually and while in the act, figuring out ways to pull out espionage, like to pull information out. And this is how so many of the leaks that we've been seeing going on have been going on. This is why the Chinese have been able to preemptively do all kinds of things, because they're getting into men that are sitting on all of these powerful committees that have all kinds of classified information. And these guys are not going to disclose the fact that they're sleeping with hookers. And it's the perfect situation. China is going to threaten to ruin their reputations, have their families taken away from them, all of that kind of thing. The reality of it is they're willing to sacrifice the national security of the United States of America and the future of other generations so long as they don't get caught sleeping with these prostitutes. And that's exactly what's going on. It's taking advantage of the mechanism of sin that creates a loss of sobriety that goes to the point where they no longer begin to think straight. And that's what you see.
Hey, I got to ask you this question. So, you know, me and you have been doing this for a long time, right? Yep. For years. I mean, we've been doing partnering like this for a long time. So think back, Obama was president, and we probably did a program on this, even if it was at one of our churches or on YouTube or wherever. But Obama was president, and I remember watching Joe Biden. He's standing next to the Chinese president.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? And all of a sudden, his face just, the president whispered something to him, and or somebody did, in the president of China's cabinet. And Biden just turned white, and you could tell he was done. Something happened, and Biden knew he was manipulated. He was in trouble.
100%.
And there was nothing he could do. And I remember watching his face, and it was like, oh, no. What do they have on Biden in America? And you know what? This is what it is. Now, also, James, last week you were talking about the silent war, the quiet war against American citizens by CIA and so forth, right?
Yep.
The government, right here. This is China's quiet war, and a whole lot has been coming up. Was it Peter Schwartz, I think it is, has been writing about this lately, Blood Money. I think that's his name, right? And talking about this basically what China is. They have a quiet war with the intent to take over America without firing a single shot. And this is exactly what it is. Everything you're talking about.
It's, dude, and it's crazy. And as a matter of fact, even back in those days, me and you may have even had this conversation during the time that Obama was in office. We were talking about this. We knew it was very common, regular public knowledge that he was a gay man. We knew that. We knew that he was having sex with other men. And we also knew that there was a lot of nonsense that was happening in the background that a lot of people were not aware about. It's not fictitious. And people called us nuts. They said, oh, you're crazy. You're going to an extreme. This is nuts. How can you say something like that? You're trying to take a jab at him because he's on his way out of office. Matter of fact, I think I was accused of being a racist and calling because I called him gay. And
you were. I remember.
Yep. And we used to actually correct ourselves and say, we're not calling him gay. He's bi, but he's really more gay than anything. And I remember all this. And now we had this guy come out on Tucker Carlson, which, by the way, like legit, they're not denying the fact that this guy had a sexual relationship with the former president of the United States.
And
the funny thing is you know that that guy was bought hook, line, and sinker. You know that that was going on. And now he's part of that that ruling class. He's part of that group. He was brought into the fold. He was promised a whole bunch in doing so, and that was the case. And the scary thing about Obama was that when he became the president of the United States, it's not like he started off with good intentions. He knew what he was. Come on, give me a break. You honestly think that an activist from Chicago is going to actually get lifted? An unknown activist from Chicago is going to get lifted into the position of president? Come on, bro.
Community organizer.
Yeah, come on. They they completely put that nonsense together. We know that they put that together. And he was loved by the clandestine community because he was the perfect person for them. He loved playing their game because he loved the riches. He loved the growth that he was getting. He loved the prominence that was coming from it. People bought his line, hook, line, and sinker. Obama is a phenomenal communicator, just like Clinton was, right? Absolutely great communicator. So they're perfect to be controlled by this deep state, and they have this amazing sort of love affair with one another. You know, these people, they just love one another. They're feeding off of one another. And let's face it, I mean, if you really want to think about it, we know that Biden is a third Obama term. But the funny thing about this is that I believe that even Obama knew that Biden was a complete mess before Biden got sworn into office. We all know that. I mean, come on, give me a break. The guy just sat in his flipping basement the whole time. He didn't even know his own name. If you ain't vote for me, you ain't black.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and then we've all seen that video. I'll watch it. We'll just play it again. You all seen that video where Obama basically says, well, if I could kind of sit in the basement and put a little earpiece in a guy's ear and kind of control things and kind of be in the, and I'd be the president.
Woo! Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, how much more obvious can it be? I mean, and then Biden. You look at him, you look at Kamala. They're the two perfect people to be used as puppets.
Oh, my goodness. You know, and Kamala, her word salad, bro. Like, I mean, the kind of stuff she says, it's ridiculous, bro.
She is, I mean, and how ridiculous. Hey, I know we started off talking about the whore of Babylon. Yeah. Oh, let me, I want to bring this up because before we run out of time, and next time I really want to get into some more of this crazy deep state stuff.
Yeah.
But I want to say this. So since we're in Revelation 17 talking about the whore, this is what the kings of the earth do. I mean, what we read in the book of Revelation is exactly what we see going on. You think the elite class, what are they doing? Manipulating, using this whore. And what does a person do with a prostitute once he's done?
It's done.
They get rid of her, right? Bro. They use her for their purpose. That's exactly what happens. The elites of the world they're using everything and everybody right now for their purpose. So when you get to chapter 17, verse 16, what do? They completely do away with it, just like a prostitute.
Can I tell you how good Satan is at this? Let me give you a picture of how good Satan is at this. He's conditioning kids to already accept nonsense like that. Think about it like this. You could go and play a video game right now. There's video games out there, right? That you could go right now and you can steal a car, okay? And then once you steal the car, you can avoid the police, kill them, shoot them, all this kind of stuff. And then you go into the middle of a park with your car. You call a prostitute over. Prostitute gets in your car. You have sex with her. You give her the money. Wow. And then you get extra money and you get extra points if you beat her to death after you have that relationship with her. And then you take off and leave her for dead. Wow. And that's a video game. That video game, by the way, has been around, this is no joke, bro, for 20 years, Tom.
Wow.
20 years. And it keeps getting, you know, crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier. And what I'm describing to you is a common, this is happening everywhere, bro. It's minds are being conditioned to accept this nonsense. Why? Because this is the whore that rides the beast. And by the way, I say this all the time. All these pastors that are wanting to fall into the woke industrial complex, you know, all these nonsense guys that are just buying into the lies, have fun, Andy Stanleys of the world. They're coming after you first. Once they're done with you, they're coming after you. And it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be really, really ugly. Well, that's it, man. We're out of time. And folks, I got to tell you, I really do hope, I know Tom feels the same way. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to this or watching it as much as we've enjoyed making it. We love you guys so much. On behalf of Pastor Tom Hughes, this is James Cadiz. We want to thank you for joining us for another episode of Countdown to Eternity. We cannot wait to continue to invest in your learning of the kingdom. God bless you guys. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And remember, Jesus is coming soon. Christ is coming any moment. Keep looking up.
You're listening to Countdown to Eternity with Pastors James Cadiz and Tom Hughes. Look for us online at countdowntoeternity.com. You can replay this episode at countdown2eternity.com or listen wherever you get your podcasts. We're also at oneplace.com. I should also mention Pastor Tom's website. You'll find it at hopeforourtimes.com. Pastor James is on social media. He examines current events and connects what's going on in our world to Bible prophecy. Look for James Cadiz on YouTube, Rumble, and Instagram. Or just go to jamescadiz.com and start watching these videos today. Countdown to Eternity is listener-supported, and if the Lord is leading you to support what we're doing, a good place to go is countdowntoeternity.com. There you can make a secure one-time or ongoing donation to the ministry. Again, countdown, the number two, eternity.com. Have a question relating to Bible prophecy or want some prayer? Send that to us in the form of an email at countdown, the number two, eternity.com. Then join us next week as we continue the Countdown to Eternity. Countdown to Eternity is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Signal Hill, and made possible through the support of our listeners.